VOA News, Khartoum, Sudan.
Uganda's former prime minister has applauded the U.S. Agency for International Development for its support in fighting AIDS, saying the country cannot afford to treat patients on its own. USAID has called on the Ugandan government to put the needs of such patients at the forefront in light of the recently passed anti-homosexuality bill. For VOA, Halima Atumani reports from the Ugandan capital, Kampala.
An estimated 1.2 million Ugandans aged 15 to 64 are living with HIV/AIDS and surviving on antiretroviral drugs. Almost all HIV/AIDS patients receive the drugs through financial support from the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID. Uganda's former Prime Minister, Ruhakana Rugunda, speaking as chief guest at celebrations to mark the 60th anniversary of the USAID partnership with Uganda, painted a picture of what HIV/AIDS was before U.S. support. Rugunda recalled that as the AIDS pandemic ravaged the country in the 1990s and early 2000s, the government had no means to afford treatment for patients.
We knew that AIDS drugs had been developed and they could control AIDS in many ways. The problem we had in Uganda was the drug is there, the people are here needing the drugs, but there is a gap. How does Uganda fill the gap? The taxpayer in Uganda, even if he or she was squeezed so hard, could not fill the gap.
In more recent years, Uganda has registered significant success in the fight against HIV, as seen in reduced HIV prevalence and a decline in new infections. USAID Uganda Mission Director Richard Nelson says his agency and its partners have prioritized HIV/AIDS for the last 20 years and are getting close to control of the epidemic, but some obstacles remain. Uganda's parliament this month passed the anti-homosexuality bill that criminalizes identifying as LGBT, mandates life in prison for gay sex, and imposes a possible death sentence for certain homosexual acts. Nelson says they are watching the bill's progress carefully because it could scare away people from seeking treatment for HIV or AIDS.
The last remaining work that needs to be done to reach epidemic control involves some of these key populations. And so if those key populations are unable to access services, if it's difficult for us to provide those services, it will really jeopardize our ability to reach our goals of eliminating HIV/AIDS by 2030.
Even before the bill was passed by Parliament, organizations providing HIV/AIDS care services were seeing people shy away from getting antiretroviral drugs. Henry Muchibi is the founder of one such group, Children of the Sun, and he spoke with the VOA.
I've seen the number of people who are HIV positive. The number of people who are suppressing now is going down because now people are in fear of getting health services in public facilities.
According to the Uganda AIDS Commission, stigma, denial, discrimination, inaction, and violations of human rights continue to be major barriers to effective national responses to HIV. The anti-homosexuality bill, described by activists as deeply devastating and discriminatory, now awaits President Yoweri Museveni's veto or signature. Halima Athmani for VOA News, Kampala, Uganda.
The Voice of America, and you are listening to Nightline Africa. I'm your host, Peter Clotty, in Washington. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa Sports with Samson O'Malley, and that will be followed by a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs and Music from African Collection. But first, Kenya has historically relied on Russia and Ukraine for a sizable proportion of fertilizer and grain needs. But the war in Ukraine has forced Kenya to take steps to become more self-sufficient. From the OA, Victoria Amunga reports from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi.
The disruption of Ukrainian agriculture caused by Russia's invasion of Ukraine is creating a shortage of commodities in African countries like Kenya that heavily rely on imported grain and products like fertilizer and irrigation equipment. To help meet the challenge, the U.S. government is working with Kenyan agricultural sector companies to strengthen the industry. Development agency USAID says it's critically important to invest in agriculture to reduce shocks that arise from external events. David Gosney is the agency's mission director in Kenya.
There will be more work that will be able to capitalize on new technologies in terms of seeds and other productivity means. And we already talked about things like solar irrigation and others, which basically get at the critical factor which you're highlighting here.
Kenyan fertilizer producers like David Abak told VOA that his farm, Sanaji, will double organic fertilizer production. He was awarded $1.2 million to produce fertilizer for Kenyan farmers this year.
Being able to produce locally is really valuable. And our organic fertilizer, it's increasing farmer crop yields by 30%. We're working with about 10,000 farmers across 1,000 agrivets in just about every county in Kenya. And this support from USAID helps us accelerate our production so that we can reach all these farmers even faster.
The United States announced grants worth $5.1 million to agricultural sector companies Monday at an American Chamber of Commerce summit in Nairobi. Moses Kuria, Kenya's Minister of Trade and Investment, told the forum that the two nations' principles have been key to such collaborations.
It is a joint initiative because we are negotiating on the basis of shared values. The values we share on diversity, the values we share on climate change and sustainability, the values we share on digital trade.
U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris has been on a week-long visit to Africa. She has said America will increase investment in Africa and help spur economic growth in the region. Harris is the fifth top U.S. official to visit the continent this year. Victoria Amunga for VOA News, Nairobi.
Stay engaged with VOA Africa. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message, comments, or greetings. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. The number again is the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
It's now time for Nightline Africa Sports, and for that, let's join Samson O'Malley. Hello, Samson.
Hi, Pete, and good evening, sports fans. Welcome to Nightline Africa Sports. British-born former heavyweight champion of Nigerian descent, Anthony Joshua, returned to winning ways with a unanimous points decision victory over Jermaine Franklin in their heavyweight boxing bout at London's O2 Arena on Saturday. After 12 rounds, Joshua was given the win by 118-111, 117-111, 117-111 on the scorecards of the three judges. This was the 33-year-old former world heavyweight champion Joshua's first victory since 2020 after successive defeats by Oleksandr Usyk saw the former Olympic champion lose and then fail to regain his global titles.
It's good to be back in the ring after 8 to 9 months out of the ring. It's not good to take that much time out of the ring. You know, if you want to be good at something, you've got to do it consistently. Coach got me in the right position to compete for 12 rounds against someone that wasn't ready to go. Maybe I could have let my hands go a bit more.
In athletics, Kenya's Irene Jepchumba Kimaiyes and Ronsa Kipkori Kunga were comfortable winners at the Prague Half Marathon on Saturday. In the female category, Jepchumba Kimaiyes won the World Athletics Elite Label Road Race in 1 hour 6 seconds, the second fastest time of her career after the 1 hour 4 minutes 37 seconds personal best she set in Barcelona earlier this year. Fellow Kenyan Janet Chipchanajic finished second in 1 hour 6 minutes 42 seconds, while Ethiopian Zere Bezabe completed the podium in 1 hour 7 minutes 15 seconds. In the men's race, Ronsa Kipkori Kunga won in 59 minutes 43 seconds. Ugandan's Maxwell Rotich was second in 1 hour 6 seconds, which was 5 seconds ahead of Kenya's Geoffrey Kuich, who came in third. In cricket news, Rwanda is among three countries that will be participating for the first time at the Victoria Challenge Cricket Championship in Kampala, Uganda from April 16th to the 23rd. The regional women cricket competition, which will be played at the Lugogo Cricket Oval, will see Rwanda, Tanzania and the United Arab Emirates as the new participating teams joining Kenya and host nation Uganda. The Rwanda female team is among the top cricket nations in Africa as they reach the Super Six of the Under-19 Women's World Cup in South Africa in January 2023. And now to rugby, where Kenya Sevens rugby team Shujaa suffered their third consecutive defeat in Hong Kong after losing 26-17 to African rivals South Africa in the Pool D match on April 1st. Shujaa began their campaign with a 29-5 loss to New Zealand before also firing blanks against Ireland after going down 26-14 in the eighth round of the 2022-2023 World Rugby Sevens Series. For the eighth consecutive tournament, Kenya has failed to make it to the main cup quarters. And that's all for this week's edition of Nightline Africa Sports. Back to you, Peter.
Thanks a lot, Samson. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. We'll link up with you again next Sunday for another look at African sports. Nightline Africa Sports.
Direct from Washington, the voice of America.
Now let's take a closer look at Africa, the problems, the prospect in time of conflict, in time of peace. Here's one man's point of view with Dr. James Jonah, former UN Under Secretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Jonah.
Good evening, Africa. The official visit of the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, have been widely and extensively covered by the local and international press. This visit is symbolic in many ways. The people of the countries she visited have warmly welcomed her measured tone and message. This is also symbolic on the selection of the states she visited. The first was Ghana. Ghana has symbolized Africa's struggle for national independence. Ghana has also become the home, symbolically, of many Pan-Africanists from many parts of the Caribbean. The Vice President also visited Tanzania, where also currently you have the first president of that country. Although previously the African continent had seen Madam Presidents from Liberia and Malawi. The visit of the Vice President was a continuation of what was discussed and agreed in December summit meeting between President Biden and African heads of state and government. It was the furtherance of the commitment and program that we discussed at that summit. Vice President Harris, a very articulate legal mind, spoke in measured ways and tried to convince the people of Africa, particularly women and youth, that America has turned a new page in its dealings with Africa. And when she went to Zambia, where her grandfather was once a diplomat, she renewed her acquaintances. And Zambia represents a country that is now trying to strengthen the foundation of democracy. Africa has ups and down relationship with the United States. In some situation, the media try to suggest that this visit and those that preceded it, for example, by the First Lady, Dr. Jill Biden, the Secretary of State, Blinken, and the Treasury Secretary, Yellen, were all to counter China and Russia influence in Africa. But the government itself and other spokespersons for the government have denied that this was their intentions. It was indeed a new chapter, but one to convince Africans that the government of the United States was caring for them. I thank you.
That was One Man's Point of View, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs.
Would you like to be famous? Calling us on WhatsApp may gain you fame if we play your message on the radio. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. Here's that number again. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
It's Sunday on Nightline Africa, and this is the time we get to relax and reflect. A flashback with music from the continent.
If you're in or not, oh no, oh no, oh no. Go to the chase, mamacita. Come have a taste, senorita. They get your ride with you on me and smoke up till the morning. There she goes, make me lose control. She run wild, shakori, shakori. Close my game, call up, pick up, go home. Nobody knows. Let's keep it on the low. No mind them, shakori, shakori. If you need me, call on me, but. Thank you.
It's like something doing me bottle, yeah. Are you looking for me? What bottle, yeah. It's like I'm walking far away to you. Baby, don't try me, come closer, let me do you this. Big body pocket, will you say no? The way you do me, so don't call me bye-bye. I be needing my peace, so oh, oh, oh. Big body pocket, will you say no? It's like there's something running down, down, down below. When you do me like this, then I really wanna stay next day. Just go shut your door. Oh, you know why be. It's still we go inside the grave. Cause if you want it, I'm my life.
Africa here at the English service of the Voice of America in Washington. Nightline Africa comes to you from the English service of the Voice of America. Hope you enjoy the program tonight. As you know by now, we're on air on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. From the Nightline Africa team, including producer Mike Hovey, we say thanks for joining us. And remember, as the elders say, no matter how you fix a chimpanzee's nose, it will still remain ugly. I'm your host, Peter Clotet, in Washington, D.C. Good evening, Africa.